Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ, and I want to personally thank you for listening to our program. We hope you will listen each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to open up the pages of God's holy and divine word. We also want you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's word. Come check it out. I think you'll like some things that you see there. Who among us doesn't like to be complimented? Who among us doesn't like people to think well of us? You ever turn one down? Probably not. Isn't it uplifting when we have done something or said something and somebody that noticed it complimented us because of our actions? Sadly, today, much more time is spent in finding fault, belittling, tearing down, instead of building up. Seems that it must be easier to find a fault than to find something good. What is the highest compliment you have ever received? Who gave it to you? Parents? Your husband? Your wife? Your children? Your best friend? Maybe even a stranger? Could you think of a higher compliment than one could be given than by God Himself? In our Bibles, we have many examples of God paying compliments to different individuals. I want to examine some of these compliments that were paid to the people of God by Him, because this is the highest compliment that one can gain. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, there is a short statement made, but it is a great compliment to a man. And it says, "And Enoch walked with God and was no more, for God took him." And Enoch walked with God. What does that mean, to walk with God? That means in his manner of life, he sought to follow God's example and path, to walk just like he did. What a great compliment. A man who strove to mold his life into walking the way and living his life the way that God would have him to do. What a wonderful compliment God paid to Enoch. In Ezra chapter 7, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel." Ezra was a scribe. And first of all, he had prepared, he had made ready so that he could do the will of God. And then he prepared his heart. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, we're told, "Out of the heart come forth the issues of life." Who prepares the heart? Man must prepare his own heart. And then he sought. What was his desire for? His desire was for the law of God. Why? Because he understood its value. Read Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He understood that it had the words of life, John 6:63. But he not only sought the law, but then he put it into action. He applied it. He obeyed it. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, we're told that he's the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. But he wasn't content just to seek it and then to obey it himself. He also wanted to teach others. He had a desire to teach others what he had learned. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, we are told that we are to find, they were commanded to find faithful witnesses that they might be able to teach them and they would be able to teach others. Ladies and gentlemen, what a wonderful compliment. Here's a man that prepared his heart, sought after the Lord, applied the what he found to himself, and then sought opportunity to teach others. What a wonderful, wonderful example for all of us. To prepare, to seek, to do, and to teach. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in the New Testament, in verse number 2, it says, "For I know your willingness, about which I boast to you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up a majority." You see, they had a willingness to help their brethren who were in need, and they're complimented because they were willing to help. But at the same time, they had not followed through with it yet. And so they need, that zeal was good, and their zeal had motivated others. They needed to use that zeal in order to fulfill what they had promised to do. Do we have zeal? Do we have the kind that can help not only motivate us, but motivate others to do great things for the kingdom? I hope so. One of the greatest compliments that's been paid by God was to a woman in Mark chapter 14, verse number 8. It says, "She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." This woman had washed Jesus' feet, and she was reprimanded because she used costly ointment. But Jesus complimented her and said, "She has done what she could do." What a wonderful, wonderful compliment that could be said about any of us. How more effective would the Lord's church be if people did what they could? Just did what they could. Work within their ability. We all have ability. In Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30, we see that there are differing abilities, but it's not how many abilities that we have, it's what we do with the ability that we have. Where would the Lord's church be if the brethren did just what they could do? Not worrying about what Brother A does or what Sister B does, but just doing what I could do. Just doing the best that I can do with the ability that God has given me. Could it be said of your service to God that you're doing what you could do? If you're doing what you could do, God will bless you. And God will uplift you, and God will love you. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 10, Jesus commented on a situation and said, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." The centurion was humble and thought he was unworthy to have the Lord come under his rule. Humility is an important aspect of our service to God. And God was so touched by the humility of the centurion that he granted his request. You see, but he said he had not found so great a faith, not even in Israel. Could your faith be called great? Without it, the Bible tells in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that we cannot please God. Do our works show our faith, or do our works show our lack of faith? James 2 and verse 18. And then Zacchaeus, in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 9, Zacchaeus was told by God to come out of the sycamore tree, for today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus had climbed that sycamore tree so he could get a better glimpse of Jesus. But Jesus is going to his house. Would Jesus be a welcome guest in your home? Or would you have to make some changes before he'd be allowed to enter? Would there be some things that you'd want to hide from him that you would not want him to know? If Jesus came into your house today, could this statement that was made to him, that salvation had come to your house, could that be said of your home? Could your home be a home of salvation? It can be, if you'll do the things that God has asked you to do in his word. Compliments that were paid by God to people in the Bible. But you know, compliments are a wonderful thing. But compliments can only be achieved by action, by doing something. You see, the Bible tells us to seek God first and his kingdom first, and all the other things shall be added unto us. Matthew 6:33. You see, if we seek God's kingdom first, that's the highest compliment God could pay us, because then we have our priorities in the right place. We're doing things in a way that brings glory and honor to God. What about 2 Timothy 2 verse 15? Could this compliment be paid to you? "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Do you faithfully study your Bible? Are you seeking constantly to be able to rightly divide the Word of God? Do you seek for ways in order that you might expand your knowledge and understanding of God's Word? If you do, then God would compliment you on being a studious faithful child. And that's what he wants all of us to be. What about 2 Timothy 2 verse 2? Could this be said of you? And the things that you have heard among me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Could it be said of you that you seeking opportunity to teach the gospel to others? Do you seek out to share the message of hope and the message of life with those who are lost and dying in sin? Could God pay you that compliment that you are doing that to the best of your ability with the opportunities that God provides you? And one other one I want you to consider is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Could this compliment be paid to you? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Could it be said that I'm remaining steadfast, that I am unmovable in my conviction, that I am continuing to walk in the way that He would have me to go? And when it says abounding in the work of the Lord, that means moving forward. It means constant motion. Am I always seeking to do His will? Am I always looking for opportunities that I can do and be effective in His service and as a member of His kingdom? You see, these would be wonderful compliments that any of us could achieve. And any of us could achieve these compliments in our own lives if we would just put our priorities in the right place. If we understand that God must come first. That God must come first in every aspect of our life. Our job, our families, our possessions, our homes, our blessings. None of them can take priority over God. God must come first. But you know the highest compliment that every one of us who are seeking to please God should strive for. And it should be the aim of every faithful child of God who is seeking to gain heaven as their home. That when one day you and I and all the world will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in the body, whether that be good or bad, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, and Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the highest compliment that we will ever be paid or will ever be said of us could be said of us by the Lord on that day when He could answer, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy that has been prepared before for you before the world began." Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear God compliment me, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Should that not be the compliment that I am striving to hear one day when my Lord will reward me with heaven for my faithful service, for being diligent in my responsibility and duty to Him, and to work in such a way that I can receive the highest compliment of all and be given the greatest reward that God has promised to the faithful. Compliments, they're a wonderful thing, but the best is yet to come. Let us live our life in such a way that one day that compliment will be said of each and every one of us. Thank you for listening today. Come worship with us. Have a good day.